What's up, game geeks and tech junkies? Welcome to A Gaming Moment, a weekly podcast about everything gaming and streaming related, including the news, tech, and software behind it. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram so you can engage with us, as well as find out when we're streaming the podcast and get a first listen before it goes out across all of your favorite podcasting platforms. I'm Dagan07, and with me, as always, is Wild Twins fan and Billy. What's going on, guys? Well, Happy New Year to y'all.
Hey, thanks, man. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well.
I mean, it's not like we haven't been hanging out. We've just been pretty busy, so a little bit crazy, Yeah, so
super busy.
This week, though, we do have a couple topics. Topic number one, 2020 tech review. Another topic of game releases in 2020. And another just kind of general 2020 topic. We thought we'd kind of start the year off just kind of looking back at the some of the good of the gaming and streaming stuff for 2020.
And then we've been on kind of hiatus, as you guys know, and we just kind of want to tell you guys what we've been up to and kind of why we've been on hiatus. It's been kind of crazy. So we're officially kicking this off as season two, and we're super excited. We're hoping that this season's going to be more polished than last season. We kind of have a better idea of where we want to go with the program and basically how we want the streams and the podcasts and the content to go. We have a better, clearer direction on that. You'll also see some updates to our YouTube channel. We're starting to get polish up some of the stuff that we kind of rushed last season, and just trying to polish up the channel and polish up our content a lot. So with all that being said, let's go ahead and get started with the 2020 tech review. And there was pretty much four big things that kind of touched all of us, Wildy.
Yeah, for sure. You know, we got like AMD 5000 series, and we also have the AMD and also the NVIDIA cards that dropped. And then kind of a big shocker to the market, a little bit of sleeper there. The Oculus Quest 2 in the VR market, making a banging headset for a really affordable price. So I think we'll kind of cover those topics. You know, there's all sorts of topics, but we'll cover those for this week.
Yeah, so diving into the AMD 5000 series, Wildy and I can speak to these kind of intimately because, you know, we studied these, we researched these, and we knew, well, I knew at least, Wildy didn't know at the time, but I knew at least I was going to be picking up one of the new 5000 series CPUs, which I did. And I'm going to tell you right now, I absolutely love it. And newsflash, I think it was a surprise, or maybe it wasn't a surprise. Nobody can get their hands on these things. I mean, they're very, very hot and very, very quick to sell out.
It's a good thing you got a hot tip from an insider there, Day, to get you locked in on that 5900.
You know, I'll give you credit for telling me to go stand outside of Micro Center 2-3 hours before they opened. But the fact that the Micro Center that I went to only had a shipment of 10 5900Xs that day, I'll count myself as lucky as being number 9 on the on that list to get one. So I was super stoked about that. But yeah, right now, if you want to buy any of the graphics cards or the processors right now at market price or at, you know, MSRP, you're going to have to go stand a few hours outside of a place like Micro Center. If you're in Canada, Memory Express, there's quite a few places. Just, you know, a lot of places are trying to sell them online only, like Newegg and Best Buy. And there's just too many scalpers out there running these bots to swipe them up as soon as the stock becomes available.
Yeah, so I think that's kind of an interesting point, like where Micro Center's not selling these online, and their motive is like they're selling to the gamers, the real people. So they're not listing these things online. So you have to kind of go there and get one. And maybe if you're lucky that you have a Micro Center in your area. I'm in Minnesota. We only have one. So that, you know, that kind of makes it hard. But we've been lucky. I think if you really want one of these new processors or these new video cards. If you're on it, you could probably get your hands on one. I think the market's freeing up a little bit. I had a buddy that was able to get both a 5600X and a 5800X for retail price just a mere week ago. And you just need to be, if you want them, you're going to have to be on one of those alert lists or something, and you're going to have to be ready to click and add that to your cart and buy as fast as you can, because everyone else is still doing it too. But I do think it feels like it's freeing up. Maybe people spent all their money on Christmas. I'm not really sure, but it seems like they're a little bit easier to come by. So they're not insurmountable. Although I'll give you credit, the 5900X, you're the first person I know that's got a 5900X. I haven't heard of anyone getting those. I've heard of a few 5950s.
I haven't seen any 5950s, man.
Yeah. You've seen them. I've seen them on like YouTube and stuff like that. People are getting them there. And then those weren't even like big channels or big YouTubers or whatever, but they're still thin. I think Linus Tech Tips was saying they have one. Linus Tech Tips has one, you know, one of the bigger channels on YouTube, you know, so it's, you know, those AMD top chips are probably the rarest things, along with the big Navi GPUs. Well, NVIDIA was, or AMD was so quick to come out and say, oh, we won't have NVIDIA's problems on supply. And they're even worse.
Yeah, so they're way NVIDIA's worse.
For shit.
Yeah. Or, AMD. So a couple pro tips when it comes to these, you know, if you have the ability, if you're one of the lucky people that have a micro center, like I live in Texas, there's two micro centers here in Texas, one in Houston and one in Dallas. If you're around a micro center, your best bet is to go there. Another pro tip is go to EVGA's website if you're trying to pick up a 3000 or 30 series card, and just get on the mailing list, man. That's about the best that you can do. That's the only company that I know, at least here in the States, that you can sign up for the online waiting list. I signed up for mine back in November. I didn't get a message from them. I still haven't gotten a message from them yet. So we're talking
I've known people that got cards. We know a couple people that have got cards that way. So that way is working. I'm sure they're going to get through it. And, you know, it's chances are other people on that list are going to start getting their hands on cards, and you know that list is going to start moving a little bit faster. So you want to get on there as soon as possible if you're still holding out.
Yeah, and then like Wally said, I mean there was a sleeper piece of equipment out there that came out September, October, Wally, that the Oculus Quest 2 released. Yep. Man,
and we talked about it a couple times.
Yep. Yeah, we did talk about it a couple times, but you know, a full VR setup for $300 that doesn't require a computer setup, but you can use the computer, is absolutely amazing. And I don't know if Wildy has or not, but I've got mine set up wirelessly so that I can play VR games through my PC wirelessly. So I don't have to buy that $70 Oculus cable, or even just I don't have to be tethered to my PC. I can be in another room if I really want to, which doesn't work out too well because it does hog up a lot of bandwidth on the Wi-Fi. But man,
there's some trade-offs there.
It is a beast. It's really it is really, really good. The quality of the games on there and the graphics, just the native built-in graphics, are outstanding. And like Beat Saber for me is super fun. There's this fishing game that I play on there is super fun. And then I've tested, I haven't played it yet, but I've tested Phasmophobia in VR. I'm too chicken shit to try to play it in VR. I'm waiting on Wildy to play with me in VR.
I told you right now, I said, if I play Phasmophobia in VR, there's going to be some non-VR shit in my house. Like, I loaded it into the lobby, and it's so encompassing, it, you know, and Phasmophobia, if you guys aren't familiar with it, it's a ghost hunting game, and it's not really like a high-end, like, fancy-looking game. But what they do is they do the sound effects really well. And because your vision's a little bit numbed in the game, right, you're really listening for stuff. And that listening, like all of a sudden, you know, everything's kind of like kind of poor quality, and you know, and it's not the greatest, but then you'll have the ghost come up to you and like whisper in your ear, like, you know, and it's like crystal clear, it's loud, it's just like inside your head, and man, it really brings you into that moment, even wearing a headset watching a monitor. And I just, in VR, it's going to feel like it is standing on top of you. So it's not really a jump scare game, but man, it is encompassing that you sit and you feel like you're kind of in that game. So it's amazing. The Quest made what I needed, what I said I would wait for in a headset, and that was wireless. And even though I think you get a better quality running a wired connection right now, unless you're running maybe a Wi-Fi 6 router, which I haven't stepped up to yet because I don't have the connection, quite honestly, to even justify it. But it's such a nice to be free of those cords and those wires and stuff like that. But then the option to take all that quality, and now we got the new PCs, both of us are running 3080s, and we can push that to our VR headset, and we're crushing the 90 FPS frame rates with our headset, playing smooth, great looking games off a PC with our $300 headset, dude. Unreal. I'm so psyched about this thing. I love it. I just have to wrestle it for my kids.
Yeah. I actually have mine sitting right next to me, because as soon as I get done with the podcast here, I'm going to play this fishing game, just kind of sit down on my couch and lounge and just sit there and like act like I'm sitting here throwing a bait, and, you know, catching these fish. And it's actually extremely relaxing, like, yeah. Very, very relaxing.
It's chill. I like it.
You know what? I actually have the exact opposite feeling about it right now, because up until you started talking about Phasmophobia, I was thinking about all the cool racing that we were going to do. And now I'm just having panic attacks thinking about Cody's whispering into my ear. So maybe I'm not going to get one.
Now that you brought it up, like the original reason I ever built a PC. A gaming, that's what I wanted to do. And I never really got there. I actually could do it. But now, and put the Quest on there, and I raced in VR, where your head, and you look around in the car and you see the cockpit, and you just adjust my wheel. Also, my hands are moving the wheel and the pedals, and dude, it was fantastic. I mean, you still know you're playing a video game, but it's amazing. It's I can't wait to play it again. I can't wait to play that in VR, but that's a little bit quirky with the headset. Yeah, it was within the month, so.
Yeah, I've even with us being PUBG players, I've even seen the possibility of a PUBG VR come out. I'm curious to see how that's going to play out, but I'm not going to hold my breath for it, because they can't even get the regular desktop version. Right. So I'm not going to get too big into that. Well,
they do have Population One, which is a VR game, and everyone I see, I have to take it at face value, but everyone I'm seeing is loving the game. So we just need Billy to get the VR headset, $299. You got to sell your soul to Uncle Zuck, because you have to have a Facebook account.
That's the
sticking point.
That's going to ruin me right there. I got to sign up for Facebook.
Yeah, no, you're all right. You're good.
So speaking of Uncle Zuck, this was hilarious to me. So as you guys know, I'm running it wirelessly. You have to run VR? It's a virtual desktop. It's a virtual desktop application. It's virtual desktop is what it's called. And there's different environments that you can sit in, and one is like an office or gaming, you know, like a computer room environment, and you look over your shoulder, your right shoulder, and there's like this poster that's made to be like Star Wars, but it has Zuckerberg's face on it. It's fucking hilarious. Like, I'm gonna have to get the picture, and I'm gonna have to show you. It's fucking hilarious. It's nothing like, the room is full of posters, and there's Zuckerberg's face, and there's like news articles on the back wall, talking about Mark Zuckerberg and all this stuff. It's hilarious, dude. Like, a really immersive environment. It's really, really cool, but it is hilarious the way that they've done it.
Yep.
So guys, starting the new year, if you guys are looking to stream and you're looking for some amazing stream overlays that are easy to use and work across all of your favorite streaming apps, such as OBS and Streamlabs OBS, Nerd or Die provides the highest quality stream overlays for great prices. If you pick up one of their supercharged overlays, they're the easiest and quickest way to upgrade your stream. They can be imported and installed on any major streaming software in literally less than 30 seconds. So if you visit agamingmoment.com/nerdordie, all one word, you can check out more information on that, and it helps us out, helps us to grow the podcast a little bit more, so we'd really appreciate that as well.
Hey Day, the Nerd or Die. I think that looks a little bit familiar there with the Gaming Moment.
Yeah. Nerd or Die is actually what powers our most of our streams. Like my personal stream, I actually run the Glitch Nerd or Die pack, which I absolutely love. It is one of those supercharged layouts. So literally, you run one file and it installs all of the scenes. It installs all of the plugins and every little thing that you need, with the exception of your camera. You have to kind of do all that stuff manually, but it has all of the camera frames and everything that you need. And you can set up some really great, you know, be right back screens, or some going live screens, or just chatting screens, or ending screens. Has everything that you need in them.
And I actually use the scene myself, so I'm a big fan of them, to be honest.
So 2020 brought us some really good game releases, guys. The first of which was, and I don't know if you guys have followed this. I followed it kind of intimately because it was probably one of the best storyline games I've ever seen. I didn't play it. I watched my wife and my son play it, but you know, I was enamored with the story, and it was so, so good. And it won a ton of awards at the Game Awards this year. And that was The Last of Us Part Two. And to tell you how many awards and this game won and how many awards it was nominated for, it was the most anticipated game. It won Game of the Year, Best Game Direction, Best Narrative, Best Audio Design, Innovation and Accessibility. It was the Best Action Adventure Game, Best Performance by the actors that were in it. It was nominated for the Best Art Direction. It was nominated for the Best Score and Music, which the music in there, like if you're a fan of like old time Johnny Cash and like that real grungy dark country, like that dark country rock music from like the 60s and 70s, you would really love that, this music score, and then the player voice. So it was nominated and won a whole bunch of stuff at the Video Game Awards. And man, this game really was really, really was a masterpiece, so much so that they're coming out with a show for it.
That's unfortunate, because I believe that's a PS4 exclusive.
Yes, it was a PS4 exclusive, but
unfortunate.
Unfortunately,
that we have to still play these games where you have to buy a system to play the game. No thanks. I'll watch it on YouTube.
Well, I can tell you The Last of Us Part Two, the full story, if you want to watch it on YouTube, the full story from beginning to end is about an eight and a half hour YouTube video.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's a marathon, but it is oh so good. Like if you need to break it down into 1 hour chunks, but I guarantee you, once you start watching the first 10-15 minutes of it, you're going to binge watch the whole damn thing.
So wait, did you watch that whole 8 hours?
Well, no, I didn't watch it straight. I watched it while my son and my wife played it. But it's a really good watch. It's a really compelling story. It was, I can't begin to tell you how good it was. It was that good.
Right. You talked me into watching it.
Yeah, I'm actually thinking about it.
Yeah, it's really good. If you might want to watch the first one. The first one's about 4 hours. There's a 4 hour YouTube video. And then they have I think it's a 10 hour one that has both of them kind of combined. So you get the full story. So, like I said, yeah. Highly recommend watching them. The story between both games is outstanding. And I understand why they're making a show out of it. I really think they need to make like a Titanic style movie out of both the first and second one. Yep. Some other games that came out this year that were kind of highly anticipated was Assassin's Creed Valhalla. Ghost of Tsushima, which won some awards for their art and everything. A lot of people liked it for their visuals and everything. Call of Duty Warzone dropped, which was Call of Duty's Battle Royale, since Battle Royales are in. And then we talked about this this last year, the rise of Fall Guys. Fall Guys was
game.
A huge.
Oh God! Just can't get by without you pestering me about this game, can I?
Fall Guys was the most irritatingly fun game I think of 2020 outside of watching Bill play golf with friends.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Either, you know what? I'm not sure which one of those games makes me more mad, but at least I can pass one level at Golf with Friends.
Animal Crossing New Horizons. That was kind of a sleeper one.
If I'm not, I don't know that that's a sleeper title. That's a huge title.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. It's like that one of the biggest titles
anticipated from title.
But you know what?
I'll give you the sleeper because I don't think anyone thought it would be as big as it ended up being this year. It's always been popular, but I think that the COVID situation really pushed the, like, what it gave you is that social boundaries and those, and it still gave you the way to interact with your friends. And like we talked about, Biden had an island and stuff like that. It reached some new areas that I don't think would have happened without COVID. So it's been interesting. My kids play it. They love it. It's a good, solid game. Nintendo makes good games.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to get it. My kids actually weren't into that. My middle son actually ended up getting into Mario a lot this year. And then for Christmas, he got everyone's favorite Minecraft. So now we have Minecraft on. Minecraft on four different platforms now. Xbox. Nintendo, PC, and two different PCs now.
I didn't know this. Have you played Minecraft RTX yet?
I have not played Minecraft RTX yet. You have
to get it because Minecraft RTX is supposed to be actually one of the more premier titles to show off RTX. Now that you got that fancy 3080 in that new beast of yours, I think you need to load up the Windows 10 version, has the RTX on there, and just kind of play with a little bit, like the torches work. I don't know how much Minecraft you've played. I haven't played a lot. I've played little.
I haven't played really any.
But the torches finally work like you would want torches to work in the caves and stuff like that, all because of RTX, and pretty neat. Pretty neat to pull up kind of some of those sleeper games like that. And Minecraft would be on the cutting edge of technology.
I know, right? 8-bit blocks.
Yep.
I know the only thing I've really utilized RTX with so far has been Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War. And I can tell you, you see a pretty big difference in like the shadows and reflections and stuff. But outside of that, I mean, you know, I'm not too impressed with it. yet. Yeah. I'm not too impressed with it yet. I think I'm gonna have to try a game similar to Control. I think Control utilizes RTX really, really well as well.
Cyberpunk. I played Cyberpunk with DLSS on. I haven't played a lot of Cyberpunk, so I need to get back into it. I've just been crushed this last month and a half, which is part of why we haven't been podcasting a whole lot here. So,
yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, though, like there were some really big games, and I can't believe, you know what? I can't believe I left Cyberpunk off of this. I didn't leave Cyberpunk. We're saving that for another topic here down the line. Yep. But guys, if you've been enjoying the podcast and would like to support us so we can keep creating more content, we've started a Patreon that you can visit at patreon.agamingmoment.com. Become a patron and gain exclusive benefits such as early access to episodes, monthly AMAs, and an additional monthly bonus episode. So sign up today. So speaking of what speaking of us being on hiatus for like the last month and a half, Wadi, why don't you tell the peeps what you've kind of been going through, and then I'll follow up, and then we'll get Billy's input.
Well, yeah, just first off, personal life. You know, we got my work, because I have a real job, and sadly, the podcast doesn't quite pay the bills yet, or any bills. But we just had a lot of COVID scares and stuff like that. And thankfully everyone's been healthy and a few people have gotten through it. But they're very conservative about that. So, which I'm grateful for, that my employer has been absolutely excellent to try to keep us as safe as possible and as healthy as possible. And so we've had quite a few people out of work, and we're a small group as is. So it just made for a lot of extra time at work to make sure we could get our job done and get the coverage we needed. So it didn't really lend into podcasting a whole lot, and with, you know, my schedule being so erratic and such. But what it did lead to was a little bit of excess that allowed me to build my new PC. So I have built the new PC. I'm going to plan to keep this for at least a couple years. I don't think I'm going to push it quite as long as the 8 years of the old PC, but I've built a Ryzen 7 5800X. I have 32 gigs of DDR4. I have a NVIDIA 3080. TI, or just a 3080, not the TI, that's common, but a 3080. And it's been just a killer system so far. I have had some issues here and there, and learning the AMD environment's a little bit different. Like I kind of expected, the Intel stuff seems a little bit more plug and play, put it in and it go and it'll figure it out, you know. And I don't know if that's a little bit on Asus here, because I ended up basically with a Asus Tough build, but it's been good. And some of the things like the XMP is a little bit different on AMD or an Asus version of AMD's XMP profile, and so it's been a little bit of a learning curve. But overall, it just stomps every game that I've thrown at it. Everything runs so smooth. And my last PC would play it, but the smoothness has just been excellent. And that's really what I've noticed. The frame rates are up, and that helps with the smoothness. I've overclocked my monitor. I'm running most of my games at 165 plus FPS. It's been a joy. So that, and then just life, you know, wife and kids, and we had the holidays, and we were just the four of us, and we tried to make it special and have some special meals for ourselves. Try to make it a memorable year in a good way. And overall, I can't say I've been busy, but I can't say it's been bad. So 2020 wasn't terrible for me, thankfully. And forward to the future. How about you,
Dave? Yeah. Kind of the same way, you know, when the year winds down, you know, work kind of picks up because they're trying to close out the year with, you know, some final projects. So I got slammed with that, picked up a new personal project that I'm hoping to really kick off this year called Destination Yum, which is a foodie channel that I'll be competing with Wildy with his hunger inspired foodie style. So but that's I'll do a little plug for that. You can check it out on YouTube if you just search Destination Yum in the channels. And I've only got one video uploaded right now. It's me eating the Packy One Chip Challenge, which, you know, wasn't too bad. It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be, but it was the kickoff to the channel. So it's going to be a lot of food. It's all food related stuff. So it's either food challenges, it's going to be cooking recipes, restaurant reviews, recipe reviews, maybe like TikTok food hacks, TikTok food hack. I can't get that out. TikTok food hack reviews. There we go. So just anything related to food and eating and stuff. And then, you know, my New Year's resolution this year was to really focus on content creation. So that's including a gaming moment. That's the Destination Yum, as well as my personal YouTube channel. I've got some tech reviews and tech tutorials on the old production calendar. And yeah, and then like Wally built a brand new machine. I'm running a Ryzen 9 5900X, like we talked about earlier. I am also running a 3080, RTX 3080, the EVGA for the Win 3. Super stoked. 32 gigs of RAM. While Wally's running four sticks, I'm running two. So we're just been kind of benchmarking back and forth on that. Asus TUF motherboard as well. And of course, I've got the RGB going on outside and inside the case. So that automatically adds 45 more frames to my games. But yeah, I've been cranking out some pretty good frame rates. Like I've been maxing out. My monitor only goes up to 144, 1080p 144. I have a 1440p monitor that's going to max out at 165. I have that coming in shortly. It's been ordered. It's just back ordered right now. And looking forward to getting that hooked up and playing games on, you know, those higher frame rates and being able to play it at 1440p without any hiccups or stuttering. And, you know, like Wildy said, we've just been crushing it. And then, you know, with the audio editing and the video editing stuff that I do, I've been able to see such a huge performance increase on rendering the video. Billy, and even while I'm editing the video, the pre-rendering while you're editing the video is just so smooth.
I highly recommend it.
Like you're going to spend a penny. You're going to spend about $2,000, you know, easy. If you go with a build like one like ours,
but totally hit the breaks.
It's easily a build that's going to last you six, 7 years. Easy.
Everyone figured out.
The only reason why Wildy is saying, you know, 2 to 3 years is he's going to switch when DDR5 comes out.
Crazier than ever. And we had to slam
how crazy has your life been, dude?
About 6 months. So I was working
all over the world during COVID. Christmas.
And then I got the first vacation I've had in like almost 2 years. It was great. Nice. So I just sat around and played video games. I rode my dirt bike that I just bought with all that extra, you know, working time that I got in under my belt. So I didn't get to build a computer because I still haven't been able to find a 3080. And so I'm really jealous of you guys.
We're gonna blame your sucking on PUBG to that right there, that you don't have an adequate enough computer.
Oh, dude. I mean, there's no computer in the world that's gonna make me better at PUBG. But, you know, there was one highlight of my vacation, and that was watching you eat that pepper chip. Ooh, baby, that was great. Everyone who hasn't seen that video, please go watch it on his channel. It's great. He streamed it live. We're all sitting there just egging him on. He's like, originally, I'm only going to do it for like 5 or 10 minutes. Billy, we're like, come on, five more minutes. Just come on.
Someone says, no, 10 minutes. You know, now he's stuck. He's on the stream. He can't cave to the stream.
Oh, dude. Yeah. It was the biggest peer pressure moment ever. And just watching his face, like when he just realized that he was going to have to do another 5 minutes, it was like, num, 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 num. I loved it.
Yeah.
It was awesome. I had a fun time. I can tell you, you know, I'll kind of give you a preview. My oldest son's birthday is at the end of the month here, and he wants to do what's called the Fire in the Hole challenge at this place, at this wing place called Pluckers, which is 25 of their hottest wings in like 30 minutes or an hour. And these wings are not small either. So he wants to do that. So if we do that for his birthday, we're probably going to be live streaming it.
That's great.
And then you're really going to see me in so much pain past the one chip. You're going to see me like just slobber and kind of like just dying.
The uncomfortable and then that one.
So much uncomfortable.
Feel bad for you.
You know what, Dave, for someone who really enjoyed watching you eat that hot stuff, I mean, ketchup is too spicy for me. So it's, I'm living vicariously through your suffering, I guess.
No, that's fine. Whatever. It's all in the name of, some people like watching it. Some people don't. It is what it is.
I love watching it.
Yeah. I can't get enough of that.
So to to follow up on some of the stuff that happened this year, like I said earlier, I wanted to save Cyberpunk 2077 for this segment here. Man, it was a huge disappointment on non next gen consoles. Like the biggest potato, and it had some of the craziest glitches.
I think that was not expected. I think that was expected. And I think those that didn't expect that weren't
reading between the lines. The penis glitch was not expected.
I'm thankful, dude, that I was not streaming because I didn't recognize there was nudity in this, right? And I picked my character, and I picked a female character just because I don't generally like listening to the male characters grunting when they get hurt. I whatever. That's the honest truth why I usually pick a female character. And I picked the female character. Next thing I know, there's some knockers up on my screen. I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I just wasn't ready for this. I'm like, that would have got me a vacation from Twitch. So I'm glad there's a streamer mode for that. But I didn't know that. I didn't look at the settings, man. I downloaded that thing. Let's go. Let's go. Let's play it. Let's see what this is about. And I haven't really been back into it. I just haven't. I haven't had the time to devote to it. But
I didn't
look forward to playing through it.
Yeah, I didn't buy the game, but the fact that I was like scrolling through my Twitter feed and everybody was posting pics of like Cyberpunk dick pic, Cyberpunk dick pic. Yeah. And then you can like they even got so granular, like you can pick the penis size, and they were like, it was like the dad walks in and it's like the son is picking is putting the penis size of his character on Cyberpunk. Like really?
Yeah. So yeah, I think realistically, if people would have paid attention, I mean, they delayed the game a couple times, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And I mean, they just said, I mean, there's a point where
they delayed it a whole year. I think
they're going to go live at, you know, they're going to have to go with it. And as deep as they're trying to make this game, and as involved as they're trying to make this game, you knew there's going to be some hiccups on day one. I'm going to be honest, in the hour and a half that I played kind of the intro and stuff like that, I didn't really have any problems. It played around 60 FPS. I didn't really have an issue, and that's on a 1070. I didn't really have any problems with it.
For PC, it wasn't bad. For PC and the next gen consoles, PS5 and Xbox Series X. If you were one of the lucky people that got one of those two things, the experience wasn't bad. It was the people that bought it for PS4 and Xbox One X. Man, they really borked the graphics, and they kind of borked everything on that, so much so that like Sony stopped selling it, and Xbox, I don't think Xbox stopped selling it, but people were asking for refunds on the game and yet still expecting to keep the game, stupidly. But like, there was a lot of people asking for refunds. And if Sony stopped selling the game because there's too many complaints, then, you know, there's an issue with the game. So, you know, I think, I don't know, I guess I would expect somebody like Square Enix to anticipate the users a little bit better and know that more people are going to be buying it on the older gen consoles than the next gen consoles. And they should have had the game a little bit better optimized for the older gens.
That's the fate of COVID that slowed them down. They just need to get in there and optimize it and make it work. They can get in there and make that game work for those systems. They just haven't had the time because of everything going on in the world. They'll get it working. So I think if you have one of those older generations, PS4, the one PlayStation or the Xbox One, I think you're going to be able to play the game in the future. Maybe it's not again, because of everything going on, the near future, but they'll get there. And we've seen that already. Halo and some of those big titles, they're dragging their feet.
Halo's delayed to like May, right?
But they're dragging their feet to even support the back generations and stuff like that. And they say, you know, Halo came out and said, well, yeah, we're going to do that for all generations or whatever, you know, this generation, last generation, we're going to support that. But they've already backpedaled on that, saying, you know, with everything, with all the challenges we're facing, you know, so it's like, people got to be reasonable, and everyone expects the game to be perfect when it comes out. And gosh, that would be perfectly nice, but this is why the people always say the mantra, and no one ever listens: do not pre-order a game. If you pre-ordered the game and it played like crap, that is on you. Do not pre-order games. Let the reviewers come out, read the reviews, and then you decide, should I buy this game or not? You're not missing anything when you don't pre-order the game. Maybe a stupid cosmetic that no one's going to notice, no one's going to care. In fact, they might just think you're stupid for buying it because you pre-ordered the game, and that's the only way you could have got that skin. Don't pre-order your games. Wait for the reviews, and you don't have any problems.
But Wildy, I need that pre-order skin from GameStop, man. I need it. Like, like that's the whole purpose in life, is to get that pre-order skin from GameStop.
And you want to know what? You can still get it afterwards too, most of the time.
Here's the thing: the whole pre-order thing in this day, in the digital, you know, media day and age, is completely worthless. I mean, they're using it as a continuation, obviously, to like lock in sales. But I mean, the whole reason you pre-ordered in the past is because there was limited quantities of the physical media.
Yeah, and physical copies.
Now that you don't need that, there is absolutely no reason to pre-order anything ever, period, ever, seriously. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you're just, it's, you know, I look at it, if you're pre-ordering any video game or movie or whatever, you know, record, you're basically, you're just participating in their Kickstarter. And same thing as a Kickstarter, if it doesn't pan out, you know what, you don't get your money back.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, if it's Star Wars and you're going to buy it, whether it's good or bad or whatever, because you like Star Wars, I guess pre-order it. But
yeah, you know, pre-ordering PUBG too.
Expectations.
I'm going to pre-order PUBG too.
I'm not. I will not
pre-order. Yeah. I already want my money back for PUBG 1. Come on.
Hey, they're supposed to be giving you your money back in G coin.
Hey, you know, I'll take that.
Yeah. Is that a thing? I didn't hear that.
So guys, what are y'all looking forward to this year? What do you know about coming into this year that you're actually looking forward to, besides the COVID vaccine?
Is there anything else that's coming out besides the COVID vaccine this year?
I mean, I don't know. I already saw Wonder Woman 1984, so I got to see Gal Gadot half naked, which is fulfills my fantasies.
She's my girlfriend, and I was so bummed about that movie. It was so bad. God, we watched it Christmas night, and it was just like, my wife was like, "Do I have to?" I was like, "Yes, yes, we do." And like about halfway through, I'm like, "I'm very sorry that I made you do this." I'm so sorry.
Look, I didn't watch it for the movie. I watched it for her. Yeah, let's be honest.
Yeah, same.
Not interested in either. I mean, overall, I'm actually kind of looking forward to. I think my YouTube channel's got to get kicked off a little bit here. I'm just. I just got my intros and my intro, my outro kind of nailed down a little bit. Starting to. Now that I got the PC built, I'd like to get the content up, and I do have content already. I just need to kind of get it up and situated. I'd like to get a little bit more in the content creation. I'm considering dropping my Twitch affiliate to allow me to multi-stream to kind of branch out a little bit more, because the honest truth is, I'm not a Twitch affiliate to make money. I don't need the money. But I'd like a little bit further reach. So I think it's better for me not lock myself into a Twitch affiliate and give up some of the affiliate niceties. You know, the sub is not a big thing. I think I have more control. The bit rate's a little bit of a thing, but I do have more control. I believe I cannot have ads. I can choose to not have ads on my stream as a non-affiliate. And that, I think, would be a great piece for discoverability. If you can jump on my stream and not have to watch an ad, maybe people will click on my stream and actually stay and enjoy the stream and talk and chat and have fun. That's all I really want. I want to do that. I'd like to
pre-roll ad is a huge turnoff, man. Pre-roll ad sucks.
I'm gonna try to foster the daughter into maybe getting a little Twitch stream going. She's still very hesitant. Just to, you know, be on it. But she's so funny. She's so good at the games she likes. And she just knows how to really play them. And it's like watching her is fun. And she really, I mean, she's into it, you know, like you could learn how to play. She's really into Five Nights at Freddy's and she's really good at it. And it's really great to see her play something and be so good at it. It's like, that makes you excited. It makes you want to pick up the game and play that. And I think she's got kind of a gift for that. So I'd like to see if I can get her going on that path, and we'll see. We got an overlay picked out, and Dad here's got to design it up and get it running on her computer. But I think that's kind of my goal going forward. And Boy Wonder here, he's got another year or so to stream or so, but he'd definitely be a Roblox legend. And I think it's like cheap Minecraft, but you know, it's got that sandbox, that open world piece, even more so that Minecraft doesn't have. And kids are loving it. Roblox is supposed to go public
because they're huge. Making it's bank. Gonna IPO. Yeah, it's about to IPO. So, it's gonna be crazy.
So I think that's kind of the plan as far as that goes. Obviously, we're going to continue on with Hunger Inspired. And I think what we talked about doing is maybe some food challenges, and we come up with a dish. And obviously, we're thousands of miles apart, so leave that up to our followers. But we'll make some dishes and print up some, get some photos of some eye candy up of some delicious dishes, and we'll battle it out. Destination Yum versus Hunger Inspired. And I think just some of that little stuff, and hopefully get some Hunger Inspired videos up even this year too. So a lot of content creation for us this year.
Yeah. I mean, like I said earlier, that's been my biggest, that was kind of like my New Year's resolution is, I want to get my family more involved with the content creation stuff. So, you know, with Destination Yum, it's kind of like the first thing that my entire family and my wife's family has actually gotten behind, because they understand how passionate I am about food and about cooking and about, you know, trying new things and experimenting and things like that. So much so that I actually got a lot of content creation stuff for Christmas from my family. Like my aunt and uncle bought me this really cool ring light that I can attach my camera to in the middle, and it's USB powered, so it can run off just a USB power bank. And you know, my wife bought me a GoPro Hero 9 for Christmas to you know, do more video with outside of my DSLR. So, you know, my entire family is kind of like, you know, really backing me on this, and it's really cool, and it's been really motivating. And of course, they get the benefits of eating the food that I create. And I've done some really cool stuff so far, just creating some sample videos that I'm not going to release. Like, you know, I made steak nigiri, which, if you don't know what nigiri is, it's the little rice. It's kind of like sushi rice ball with like a piece of sashimi that goes across the top. That turned out really good. I made homemade tomato basil soup and artisan grilled cheese this last week. I did roasted Brussels sprouts for the first time as one of our side dishes for Christmas. You know, we've just been doing a lot of really cool stuff that I haven't done. I made a patty melt. As easy as that sounds, I made a really good patty melt for the first time ever a couple weeks ago. So it's motivated me to want to cook new things and really create a channel around these exciting things. And I also want to kind of showcase like the history of food. Like, so this is one thing I learned doing that patty melt is the patty melt was actually invented right around the 1940s in response to a lack of certain ingredients. So it was just basically plain ground beef with cheese, grilled onions, and then like a mayonnaise, mustard, ketchup, and Worcestershire sauce that's made up, you know, really simple, but really delicious. And that's kind of like the things that I want to highlight is like not only making the food, but the history of it. And then I want to be able to combine things like Chinese food and Latin food and see how that comes out. Like one of my big things is I want to make al pastor taco or al pastor egg rolls. And I think that's going to turn out really good, but I have to, I have to get that. I have to make that stuff. Yep. So really,
what are you up to this year? What's your plans? Get the webcam working for the podcast. I heard that took number one tonight.
Apparently I have to go buy another GoPro. So we'll see if I can, you know, maybe manage to get one of those since I can't get any other, you know, new tech gear lately. CPUs, no GPUs.
We get your Anuecaster working, or not Anuecaster. Yeah. We get your what's it called? Epoch Cam,
Epic Cam, yeah. Epoch Cam,
yeah, Epoch Cam.
Yeah. You know, I've got a bunch of like half baked schemes over here sitting across my desk right now, and you know, maybe I'll get through one of them soon.
Yeah. Nothing. You still gonna build a PC?
I would like to, but I'm really not gonna even.
You're not gonna hunt them down and try to get them. You're just gonna wait till you can pop in the store and pick one up.
I spent that first month just you know, just with the alerts on my phone and stopping by Micro Center. I'm lucky that there is a Micro Center close by my office, so I was able to like you know pop in there quite a few different times and check. But it's just like, man. Even now, there's still, you know, 20, 30 person line in the mornings, every morning when I go by there. Even the middle of the week, it's like, it's insane. So I'm just going to wait. And if it falls in my lap, then I'll build a new computer. And if not, then, you know, I'm still running an i7 8700K and the 2080 Super. So I'm not hurting for a new system. But, I am also one of those guys that is like, supremely jealous that anyone has anything that's better than me right now, especially you guys. And I'm dying knowing that you guys have both have 3080s. So
I still think it's I'm the same way. Like, I literally sat in my car and waited for 45 minutes because I was early at the Micro Center, and I'm like, I don't care, it's cold out there because it's 20 degrees, it's Minnesota, which wasn't that cold, but I said, I'm not going to go out there because I don't want to be cold, and I don't want a 3080 enough to be that cold for that long.
Yeah.
And I got in line when they opened and still lucked out. So I'm pretty happy.
Well, luckily there's not as many people that are willing to wait out in the 23 weather in Minnesota, but you know, it's 70 degrees here at night. So there's, there was plenty of people in line waiting for those things when they came out. So, but I mean, we'll see. You know, no real big plans. Like I said, I'm just going to kind of float along until one falls in my lap, and then we'll go from there.
I mean, there's not much you can really prepare for this year, right? I mean, we kind of know what games are coming out, but as far as technology goes, I think we're at the pinnacle of the technology. I mean, I guess we're going to see Intel's new suite of processors to come out, and we'll get to see the benchmarks on that versus the Ryzen 5 series, which I think is going to be very hard for Intel to beat because they're still going to release it on their 14 nanometer process. But outside of that, I mean, and then with the uncertainties with COVID and everything, I know we have a huge group of guys that are wanting to try to go to Vegas this summer, providing COVID permits it and travel restrictions and stuff. But
yeah, I think with the latest rollouts of vaccines and what seems to be the common consensus about when we're going to be able to do that kind of travel again, it won't be until
summertime
or later, even, they're saying probably, closer to fall, so
I am ready for that meetup.
Oh man, I am so ready too.
Billy, I think we're probably the only two people that have actually met on this group of, in person,
So a couple of the Canadian guys have met up.
Yeah. Okay. I wasn't quite sure. I think I was thinking couple of them might have met, but
yeah for sure they have. So hey guys, if you haven't already, be sure to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram so you can engage with us, as well as find out when we're streaming the podcast and get a first listen before it goes out across all of your favorite podcasting platforms. So do it.
All right, we're gonna keep this short, but now that you mention it, there's no better reason than to hit us up on the social medias than the top questions of the week. And this week, we're only going to have two questions. We're going to keep it short. We're already rambling along a lot for you guys as is. So let's just go. Question number one, are we going to see a new BR this year? Do you think this the BR genre is going to keep holding as popular as ever? Dave?
I think it will. I mean, Call of Duty just released its second BR map, I believe. Or at least I know they've updated the Gulag. Battle Royale, Battle Royales to me is kind of the game. It's kind of like the I've survived all of this, I'm better than you, blah blah blah, or I'm going to be sweaty and wait till the end of the game to actually do anything. But BR is where it's at right now. I still like standard multiplayer games like TDM and stuff on COD. But man, I have so much more fun with battle royales because the game truly is, no matter what map you play on any game, the game truly is different every single time. It's a different experience every single time. And I don't think you can get that with your standard traditional multiplayer games. Even games like Fall Guys or I guess another game that I'm going to try is maybe Marbles on Stream or something like that. I think I'm going to give that game a try. And I'm seeing some really good things coming along with that game.
Yeah.
just as an interaction, a Twitch, a streamer to audience interaction type game. And I think that's where we're going to start seeing gaming going to in the next year or two. I think that could be the next genre of games to become popular, is the interaction between a streamer and a gamer, the streamer and the viewers.
What about you, Billy?
I think that's pretty much spot on. I think Battle Royale is like, you know, they're sitting in the throne right now. And until something comes along that's so compelling that drives, you know, that user base out of that platform, then we're just going to see either more Battle Royales or the same ones getting refined. Like PUBG just released a new map and it's actually pretty fun. Warzone obviously did a little bit of updates as well. It's hard to, you know, dethrone something that's so strong right now. And even if PUBG isn't necessarily at its like all time user base high, there's still a lot of people playing. I mean, how often do we play, and when do we ever have problems getting into matches? It's pretty much, you know, doesn't really have an issue there.
At the same time, we also see a lot of the same names in the kill feed. So it's a dedicated community of gamers for PUBG, but it's a large community of gamers for PUBG. And just to throw some analytics perspective on that from Twitch, PUBG is still one of the highest viewed battle royale games. It's actually increasing in the amount of viewers. The only problem is it's decreasing in the amount of time watched. So there's more people coming, but they're not staying as long to watch the games.
Well, I think, you know, it's interesting to me. This newest map now on PUBG, Haven, is probably the most COD-like map and game mode that we've seen. The loot's prevalent. It's a two-person duo match. They're fast play games, 32 players in a match. I actually think you're going to see a little bit more shift to these smaller level battle royales. Now, starting from the beginning, it was like, how big can you make it? How big can you make? How big can you make it? Well,
how many people can you get in it? Yeah.
Right. There's some limits to the technology, and maybe that's not what people want. People want that game where they can jump in, they can play, they can die, they can win, and it happens in 10-15 minutes. I've been saying that for a long time. My hardest problem with PUBG is, do I have a half hour to commit to this game if I'm going to play it? You know, and if I got an hour to game, now I can play 1.5 games. You know, and then you die, you play a full game, you got 10 minutes in the next game. Now you can't start a game because you're not going to be able to finish it. So now you got to play for 40 minutes, you know. So I think we'll see a little bit more of these battle royales that are a little bit more approachable, that you don't need 30 hours, you know, 30 minutes to play a match. And I think that's why some of the other games, Apex and such, have been more successful. And Warzone's kind of successful that way, because you're never really out of Warzone, right? Until they get down to the final circle, your team can still buy you back, you know? And it's like, so I think that's where COD hit that piece that I'm not saying PUBG missed. PUBG intends that to not be part of their game, but I wouldn't be surprised if PUBG didn't go to a respawn map in the future, you know, to try out one of these monthly maps. And we have Paramo, and now we have Haven. And I think a lot of people like Paramo, and Paramo might have been actually a lot more different had that just been a duo only map like Haven. So it's interesting to see that PUBG is actually starting to evolve a little bit, where they were so rigid and set in their ways. And I think BR is going to continue being strong, but I think we're going to see some evolutions in that. And maybe that evolution is going to be a smaller player base, so we can keep the games faster and better and stuff like that. And that's kind of what got me into BR in the first place, being a search and destroy COD player. Was very BR like. You have one life and you got to kind of make your life count. That's why I think I'm enjoying Haven so much. And I mean, the fact that my win ratio is ridiculous right now, you know, it probably it's in the 40% range for sure. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. Chicky Denny's have been pretty, they've been easier to come by in the last, what, 3 or 4 weeks.
Well, me and Dave went back to back. Me and Billy me and Billy cracked off a chicken dinner earlier today on Haven. So,
well, there was one day too, where, you know, the bot palooza where we had I had 5 games in a row that I won. And then, you know, I think the rest of you guys jumped on. I got so bored after, you know, the first all bot game that I was just like, well, I'm out of here. But
yeah,
I feel like it's not, you know, obviously it's not always bots, but I feel like that map is just, I think, A, because there's less players in it. So there's less likely of a chance of you getting, you know, the hardcore players like our group that are skilled or, you know, experienced. So you'll get, you know, 30 people in there, but there'll only be 2 or 3 squads that are decent.
Yeah.
And it's just like shooting fish in a barrel on that map, I swear.
That's sometimes, yeah.
I'm actually thinking about playing Warzone more because we've been like today we had a back-to-back chicken dinner earlier today because we were playing a lot of Kerrigan, and we got a back-to-back chicken dinner on Kerrigan, and I'm just like, man, these games are starting to get to where we're winning too much as not that I'm bitching about it or anything, please, but
it definitely does take the thrill out of it.
Yeah. I haven't played a whole lot of Warzone, but I have yet to win a Warzone match. So, you know, I'd like to get that notch in my belt. At least I've gotten a couple second places, but I haven't gotten a Warzone win yet. And I need to mark that one off the list. So anybody that wants to play Warzone with us, hit us up on social and we'll squad up and do the damn thing. So,
yep. So then building off the earlier discussion we had, last question, is this going to be the year for VR gaming? Pretty hard to deny that $300 Facebook headset Quest 2 isn't gonna make some headway in the market.
I mean, it's they've made it extremely approachable now. They've made VR extremely approachable, and the fact that you don't have to be tied to a high-end computer to play VR games makes it even more approachable. So, from a price point perspective and a hardware perspective, why not? Right. So I think VR is going to take off this year. I think we're going to see more developers making VR games. Not that we haven't seen a plethora of VR games coming out recently, but I think we're going to see, from a streaming standpoint, I think we're going to see more mixed reality streams coming out. I know Wildy and myself, we're trying to figure out a space to do this and make it work to do a mixed reality. So it's like, you know, if we're playing Beat Saber, we can be standing, you see us like from the backside or from a side or something. And you actually see us standing there with the sabers and everything and cutting through versus just what you see in the headset. So I think this year is going to be a huge year for not only VR gaming, but for streaming VR.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, Markiplier just released some videos on, he's been playing Phasmophobia VR.
Yep. Phasmophobia VR, Five Nights at Freddy's VR. So yeah. And Markiplier's, he's great, but Markiplier he's not even using the whole virtual reality, mixed reality setup. And so I don't know if that's key, but I'm telling you right now, and you're not wrong. I'm building my arsenal right now. I think I have enough green screen to do it. I just need to, and the software, it's a bit of work to get the software, I think, and everything running. And my concerns is that I want to make sure I can have my chat up that I can read and see and hear my chat when I'm gaming, because for me that's the social end of Twitch is the more important end than just my game and my content and my performance. I want people to come in and talk, and I want people to be able to engage and interact. And so, but I do think, I don't know that I think this year is going to be the year of your VR, but I see some growing interest in VR. I know people are building and the PC, I think Steam just hit a new record for concurrent players. And like those numbers are, they're pushing. And games like, and it's interesting because I think games like Warzone are pushing people to PC because the people were playing on the Xbox One X and they're playing on the PS4s and they're saying that they're getting into these lobbies with PC players and
just getting shit on.
I'm not gonna say there's a huge skill gap between PC and console.
I don't think it's a skill gap. I think it's a hardware gap. I think you get faster reaction and better accuracy with a keyboard and mouse versus waiting for your joystick to finally drag and get into your spot. So
I kind of disagree. I think a good player on a controller is at a very slight disadvantage to a PC player. What I think the difference is for most people is I think it's easier to be good, moderately good on a mouse and keyboard faster than it is to be moderately good on a controller. Because there's a timing, there's a skill piece there on a controller that definitely that's a steeper learning curve, I think, than a mouse and keyboard. So just my thought, I'm not saying you're right or wrong or I'm right or
on
wrong.
On top of that. Just, yeah. On top of that, I mean, how many digits are you actually using on a mouse? Generally, you're using four digits or not on a mouse, on a controller. You're usually using four digits. You're using your index fingers for your triggers and your bumpers, and then you're using your thumbs for your other buttons on the front side. So you're not utilizing to the max your capability, you know, the amount of capabilities, unless you have something like a SCUF controller or something like the Xbox Elite controller where you have the paddles. And I think the people that are staying on the consoles are people that are using those higher end controllers. But, you know, I can definitely see people like, you know, I could do so much more because I can use five fingers on the left side of my on the left side of my keyboard, and I can buy a mouse that has 11 keys on it and have all those buttons at my disposal just by using my thumbs and using three or four of my fingers on my mouse. So, yes. You know, I think there's an efficiency factor there. And to your point, it's easier to become moderately good on PC because of that fact than it is to become moderately good on console or controller.
Yep. Billy, do you want to chime in on a VR piece or not?
Yeah, no, I don't really. I have no experience, so I don't really have anything to say.
That's good.
Yeah, no worries. I'll do 13 and 14 into one. It doesn't matter.
Hey guys, be sure to follow us. We love to engage with our community. So hit us up on the social medias, the Instagrams, the Facebooks, come talk to us in our Twitch streams and get in a game with us.
Yeah, guys, we also would love to hear we'll also take questions of the week from you guys as well. If there's questions that you want answered or if there's a topic that you'd like us to discuss, that's also a really good way to let us know what kind of content you're looking for the show. So, yeah, please reach out to us via our social media. You can even join our Discord. We're always listening. We'll take any suggestion you guys give out. And that's going to be it for this episode. So although 2020 was a year that changed pretty much everyone's lives, we can take solace in the new technology that was presented to us, the advancements made, and the forced creativity on the world around us. And then next week, be sure to tune in because we're going to discuss a not so well-known loophole to get Twitch views. So thank you guys for listening in. Consider our Patreon to support the podcast and also by going to merch.agamingmoment.com and picking up some of that sweet, sweet swag. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcasting platform. Be sure to leave us a 5-star review of the podcast and also check back weekly for the next episode. And until next time, guys, keep grinding.